Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today, we'll finally get to this latest school massacre, and we'll bring a biblical worldview to evaluate that horror and what can be done, what should be done. We'll also notice that conservatives are continuing to become liberals with the strategy of making it so that people can't commit crime instead of so that they won't commit crime. But let's begin with our listener who said yesterday he had never heard anyone make the three observations that we made when talking about Billy Graham entering into eternity. And he said two of the three seem obvious as soon as you think about them, but the third seems harder to grasp. And so he asked me to explain that one further. The first was, when do we enter eternity? And it's at conception, not at death. The second was that eternity doesn't mean timelessness, but never ending, everlasting. And the third, that a timeless God can't know what time it is. That's the one he's curious about. So the first was easy, that Billy Graham didn't enter into eternity at his death, but when he was conceived. That's first, that we enter into eternity when we come into existence, and then some go on to live forever with God because they love him and want to, and others go on to live forever without God because they want to and hate him. As Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. The second observation was that theologians should stop redefining the word eternity to mean timelessness. It doesn't. It means everlasting, without end. Jesus doesn't save us to give us a timeless life, but to give us an everlasting life. Notice that last, everlasting duration, everlasting life. And that's what eternity is. God is eternal in both directions, from the beginningless past to the endless future. We are eternal in only one direction, into the future, for God created us, as he did the angels, as eternal creatures, not timeless creatures, but with a never-ending eternal spirit. Because we will live forever, it is easier for us to conceive of God as also living forever. But we have had a beginning at a definite point in the past, and so it is much more difficult for us to think about God as existing from the beginningless past. That's difficult for us to think of because we don't have the context within which to think of that, to grasp it, to feel it in our gut. We could know it is true intellectually, but it's hard to feel it in our gut, whereas the eternal future, that's who we are. We are eternal beings in that direction. And so it's much easier for us to come to terms with never ending as it is to feel in our gut the beginningless past. That's the first and second observations, relatively straightforward. The third observation, a timeless God couldn't know what time it is. Now think about unchanging knowledge. If there was such a thing in a living being, which God is living, the Bible says 30 times that God is living, Calvinists and Arminians say that God has unchanging knowledge. But the problem with that is that static knowledge, unchanging knowledge, is defective knowledge. It's not biblical, thankfully, because if God had unchanging knowledge, then there are countless things that we know and we can know that he could not know. The first is, what time is it? If God had all knowledge of human history, but it was static, then he could not know what time it is right now. Now would be part of a series of moments, and God would have no ability to have a pointer into where in history are we now. Static knowledge could not know what time it is. It couldn't know what day it is. It couldn't know what year it is, what decade, what century, what millennium. It couldn't know these things. And there's an endless list of other pieces of information that an unchanging knowledge could not know. For example, how many people are alive in the world? Right at this second, right now. How many? Well, if you don't know when now is, you can't answer the question, how many people live in Arvada, Colorado? You can't know. What's the population of Caracas, Venezuela? How many people are in your family? These are things that the Calvinist God could not know. He couldn't answer. The traditional, classical definition of God, which is more like a mathematical equation than it is like a living being, that kind of God, that kind of static, unchanging God, cannot, by definition, have dynamic knowledge. Such a deity could only have static knowledge. And so that kind of God could not know how many people are in your family. How long has it been since creation? Could the Calvinist God know how long has it been since creation? Is the earth 7,000 years old? Is it only 4,000 years old? How long has it been since the global flood? How long since the cross? Now, people might say, well, to God, God sees all times equally. But I'm not asking that question. I'm asking to the creation, to you and me, for you and I, we know what day it is. We know what time it is. We know. We know that it's February 28th. Tomorrow will be March 1st. We know things that an unchanging God could not know. He couldn't know how much time has passed since the cross. Something that we all know, we have a pretty good estimate of, he could not know. He could not know how long until the second coming. Even if there was an exact date planned, he couldn't know how long until the second coming. These are all the things, and then multiply these things by quadrillions and quintillions and sextillions and septillions, all the things that a static deity could not know, that static knowledge, unchanging knowledge, immutable knowledge could not know, but yet we can know. We don't know how many hours until the second coming, but there are trillions of pieces of information that we can know that the classical conception of God could not know. So that was the third observation we made. These are all so important. If you go to our website, kgov.com/time, or if you Google, is God outside of time? And then if you share that article, that helps more and more people find it, of course. It becomes more discoverable. And what's the benefit there? It's part of the effort to recover the relational God, because God changes. God created us to have a relationship with us. God wants to be affected by us so that our love brings him joy and our humility before him. And our rebellion grieves him, saddens him. That's God. Not the classical conception of God being impassible and immutable, that he has no emotion, he cannot change, our prayers cannot possibly affect him. And so you have tens of millions of Christians, or is it hundreds of millions over the years that have asked, well, then why pray? Why pray? Imagine how horrific it is to teach a theology or a description of God that makes his children ask, well, then why communicate with him? Why? Yet they all do, not all, but of course, millions upon millions. And that is a symptom of bad theology. And it is completely contrary to biblical theology, which shows the absolute opposite. Of course, our prayers can touch the heart and mind of God. Of course they can. That's our three observations on eternity that Billy Graham's passing away brought to mind. Now, the latest school massacre, and there have been hundreds of school shootings, right? And they go way back in history. but there has been a significant increase more recently. From a biblical worldview, when we consider this phenomenon and especially this increasing phenomenon, we look at it from a criminal justice perspective, a cultural perspective, an educational perspective, medical perspective, right? Even a conservative versus liberal perspective. In each of these, I think you can hear things on this program that are overtly, obviously true that you won't hear on, let's say, Fox News or other conservative, non-Bible-based broadcast or podcast. You can hear about how sexual immorality is a factor. Let's begin with the conservative versus liberal perspective. Liberals for decades have tried to make it so that criminals can't commit crime. Instead of the biblical approach that they won't commit crime. God says that if you obey him so that you have a biblical criminal justice system, then men will not commit crime. That doesn't mean that no single individual would commit a murder or kidnap or rape or theft or assault or so on, but it means that you will not have a crime epidemic. You could change the culture by having an effective criminal justice system, and that includes swift justice. It includes an understanding of admissibility of evidence and the proper standard for conviction and many such matters that we've covered in depth. You could go to our website, kgov.com/crime. In doing that, now again, we're going to get to mental illness and education and culture, but if you have an effective criminal justice system, then you will deter criminals in ways that would not be obvious to us at first. When there is not epidemic violence and epidemic crime, and millions of people grow up in a culture where crime is so prevalent that it's even hard to get the police to respond because they're just saturated with criminal behavior everywhere they look. When it's epidemic, it's like it's happening on a conveyor belt. It's like an assembly line. It just keeps coming. There's no end. And, of course, there are cycles, and we're in a cycle right now where crime is especially epidemic. Has it been higher? Yeah, it's been higher. Is it extremely high right now? Yes, it's extremely high. Should it be anywhere near this degree of criminal behavior if we had a godly criminal justice system? No, it wouldn't be anywhere near this level. So that if children grew up in a society where there was very little crime and this wasn't filling their minds for as long as they could remember, if that were... Somebody's knocking on. Brian.
We got another Hydroplate video going out.
Brian just walks in. He's grabbing inventory to fill an order. A Hydroplate theory. That's a global flood. You know I'm on the air. You must have a reason for coming in.
Well, I also thought...
Yeah. Here, talk into the mic. Yeah. This is Brian, and he works at the studio here sometimes. Your hands are filled with DVDs and Blu-rays.
Sermons, Hydroplate theory. Yeah, we're shipping lots of stuff out.
Well, thank you so much for doing that, by the way.
Well, you're just talking about epidemic crime. The police don't care. Hmm. And I thought, hey, I could jump in quick, grab this disc I need, but also mention something.
Yeah.
Just because you're totally right. Because I just had someone steal one of my cars. Not technically stolen, but I lent someone a car to borrow for work. Because I run this cleaning company, and so one of my employees needed to borrow a car.
Very successful cleaning company.
It's okay.
Very successful.
It's going. Yeah. But anyway, she wouldn't give me my car back, and so I called the police to say, hey, my employee won't give me my car back, and they said...
I know where it is. I know it. I have the title. She's refusing to return it.
Yeah, and they said, sorry, that's a civil matter.
There's nothing we can do.
There's nothing we could do, and that's not the first time.
Oh, no,
stolen rings.
That's the most normal.
Stolen money.
Right. Even when you say this guy is threatening to shoot up a school, Well, there's nothing we can do.
Wow.
We got to wait until he kills people, then we could go arrest them.
Yeah, how many tips does the FBI need before they'll do something?
Yeah, and the police and the school. The fact that, you know, how many times was there a disciplinary incident? Like 40 some times. But yeah. All right, so good point. It's everywhere. We did the halftime show during the Super Bowl. We turned off the Super Bowl. You were there. Turned off the Super Bowl. Said, let's do our own halftime show, the NYARC family.
It was much better than the real one.
Let's share. Were you recently connected to a crime, either as a victim or a witness or somehow? And there was so much crime just recently that six of us could
We have murderers.
Discuss.
We have car theft. We have stolen firearms.
Yeah.
Like, name any type of crime.
Check fraud.
Somebody in our
libel, slander, death threats, solicitation of the public to kill people.
What is wrong with people?
Right.
I mean.
Right. Well,
so,
we know the answer to that.
Yeah, but we do. It's sin. So anyway, thanks for letting me jump
rebellion
in.
Against God. Thank you so much, Brian. And a culture. So that's Brian. And for those who've ordered something from Bob and Yurt Live in the recent days, Brian right now is filling those orders. Brian and Anna and Leon, Connie, and I've been filling some too because Al Sharon, Pops, he passed away a couple weeks ago. It's been quite the challenge to fill his shoes. So I'm sure he sat Billy Graham down up in heaven, and I'm sure they had a good conversation, and Billy Graham said, you know, I just never thought. And Pop said, you should have thought about it. And Billy Graham said, you're right. I should have thought about it. I should have. For example, Billy, it's not okay to dismember a child because his father's a criminal. And now he knows that that's the case. To get back to can't versus won't, God promises in the Bible that if you obey him with regard to criminal justice, you will not have a crime epidemic. We have a seminar that we've recorded. It's called God's Criminal Justice System, and it's available. I think we have it on audio and video. It's on our store, kgov.com. Click on the store. In fact, March is our telethon month every year in the winter, and this begins tomorrow, yet tomorrow is Theology Thursday, Friday Real Science Radio. So perhaps you could help us out by beginning with getting a God's Criminal Justice Seminar from us on video or audio. We also have a syllabus. So if you go to our store, there's a whole government department. We have the Department of the Government there on our store. You get all our policy materials, and it's all Bible-based. I think you just might love it. Everything has a money-back guarantee. But so the conservative versus liberal perspective, liberals have long tried to make it so that people can't commit crimes. Well, you take away their guns. Take away their guns, and they could rev up a truck and drive full speed into a crowd of people. So then you take away their trucks, and then they could poison people in the school cafeteria. So then you take away the cafeteria, then they could stab people. And that tends to be quiet. And, well, maybe they can't stab as many people as quickly, but human beings are very resourceful. And so they could find ways. And if they want to kill four, they could kill four. If they want to kill 40, they could kill 40. So it's not can't versus won't, but conservatives, as they do over time, become increasingly like liberals. And what that means is right wing becoming increasingly like left wing. And so they're now falling into the trap of, well, we got to make it so that people can't commit these crimes. So we have to have armed guards at every school. And so there's nothing wrong with providing effective security in a fallen world, but that's treating the symptom. And if you spend the next 20 years as conservatives treating the symptom, you'll still be that much further and that much more death and misery away from understanding the truth than you are right now. And that's the norm, right? Because unless you come from a biblical foundation, you simply won't know the truth. You might stumble on the truth by accident here and there, like a broken clock that's right twice a day, but you're not going to have a systematically valid worldview and understanding of public policy. So, can't versus won't, and we have the failure of our criminal justice system with our judges and our lawyers telling people a million times a day, practically, they say we have the best system in the world. In every courthouse, to every juror, at every opportunity where it possibly fits to say, these hundreds of thousands of attorneys tell people we have the best system in the world, that's a lie. If your analysis is outcome-based, if you want to see results, how effective is our system, and then you look at all the violence and all the sexual crime and all the property crime and the festering hatred everywhere and all the libel and slander, and you look at jam-packed prisons, then you realize that we have one of the worst systems in the world. We don't have the best system in the world. It's an utter failure. And that's from a biblical perspective, which means it's from God's perspective. Then the public schools themselves, they're godless, which means that they are immoral. We should pull our kids out of the public schools. It is wrong to put your kids in government schools. And it's not only because they're godless. Even when they started in America, they included Bible study, right? Texas public schools, they had Bible study lessons as part of the curriculum. It was still wrong even then. So public schools are wrong not only because they are godless, but because they are public, because they're government schools. It is wrong to take money from others to educate children, to raise them up in the way you think they should go. That's theft. That's plunder. It's decriminalized plunder. And when the government runs public schools, it is virtually unavoidable to deify the government, that the government is the solution to man's problems. Government has a role. Government has been authorized by God to do very specific things. And those things do not include providing an education for millions of children. That is the responsibility of the parents. And when the government says we'll do it, then guess what? Millions of parents relinquish their obligation to make sure that their children are raised properly. Godless public schools lead to generations of godless children and godless households. The culture. Just take one aspect of our godless culture, and that's in entertainment. Think of the personal revenge theme in countless TV programs, films, video games, anywhere from Mean Girls in high school to all-out murderous violence. Personal revenge. It could be its own genre. It's so widespread in entertainment, blatantly, that it feeds into the out-of-control anger that is expressed by countless, not only young people, but people in general. And I'm not talking about justice, nor even proper revenge, because God is a God of vengeance, he says. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He will punish, and he delegates to the governing authorities to be agents of vengeance to punish those who commit crime, to bring vengeance, wrath, and terror against criminals. But personal vengeance is wrong. And yet it fills countless hours, thousands of hours, a million hours of entertainment, filling the minds of millions of people. That's one aspect. There are so many, and we're going to continue to go through these. We'll list them, and we'll continue that next week, as we'll be well into our telethon, the Bobignert Live 2018 Winter Telethon. Please, it's so important for us to continue to reach more people, we need your help. We need your help. We don't have a foundation behind us. We don't have a mega church. Pretty much it's you, me, and the Lord. We need, so please consider calling us, 800-8-N-YARDS, 1-800-8-E-N-Y-A-R-T, or go to our website, kgov.com. You could click on the store, you could donate, especially if you become a monthly subscriber to a study or our videos. I think you'll love it, and that really helps us. May God bless. Hey, this is Bob Enyart for our annual winter telethon, the month of March 2018. Our goal is to raise $50,000. That can be either in donations, of course, or in listeners purchasing our materials, fabulous topical DVDs, Blu-rays, download video. We have Bible study seminars, verse-by-verse studies through many of the books of the Bible. We also have our sermons, and then there's My Life's Work, the plot and overview of the Bible. The way to browse our materials, whether they're our science materials, apologetics in defense of the scriptures and the gospel of Jesus Christ, or our theology material, government, parenting, so many crucial areas of life, we have spent now 27 years working to produce materials to help people have more fulfilled lives, better relationships, stronger families, be more effective as a member of your church, in fact, even of the community. So if you're interested in helping us reach more people, please consider giving to the outreach, Bob Enyart Live, or go to our website, kgov.com, click on the store, and then you could browse through all the topics and look at the monthly subscriptions, monthly sermons, Bible studies, topical videos, Best of Bob, our classic television shows back when Bob Enyart Live was on all over the country on television 5 nights a week, all of that available on DVD. And then also there are monthly donations. So if you were to subscribe to a monthly service, we would take the amount of that, whether it's $20 a month or $35 or $50, whatever it is, or if you were to sign up for a monthly donation of $75 or $100 a month even, whatever, we take those monthly subscriptions and multiply it by 10 so that we have an amount to apply toward our telethon goal of $50,000. The other materials, of course, whatever you purchase, that amount will be applied to the telethon goal. If you donate more than $100 or purchase more than $100 worth of our resources, then we'll also give you a gift. Any DVD or MP3 CD that we produce, we'll give to you as a thank you. So you can call us 1-800-8-N-YART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Or go to our website, kgov.com. Click on the store. The goal is $50,000. Thank you so much for your consideration, and may God bless you.